Here now, 3 years I've got, and I'll show you some photos of my family, and I've got a wife and 4 kids and 6 grandkids, and they all stay here, but I work in Africa, okay? I heard somebody say the other day that if you just bump a tree in Australia, South African falls out, you know? Some good, some bad. But so I live here and I commute and work in Africa, and but I'm also looking at seeing how God can use me. Yes, I didn't grow up in the church, rough and tough, and burnt my fingers, and at age 29, 30, I'll tell you, I had a business, and I was calling on a client one day, an electrical wholesaler. And so, and I'll speak to you a little just now when the slide comes up, but I'm a director of Gospel Chariot Missions. I started this 25 years ago, my wife and myself, and we're going into now 21 countries by year end. And really, it's just a Church of Christ on wheels traveling into 21 countries. And what we're trying to do is invade Africa with gospel chariots. It's just a big truck that's really a church with a baptistry and et cetera. And then we've got some short-term Bible schools. We've started all the downtown churches in Pretoria, Johannesburg. And I'll tell you what happened as apartheid came in. And we're trying to distribute tons and tons of literature. There's my wife. She's not here. We've got a crisis in our life. My daughter down the road, I'll show you. My son-in-law had an aneurysm, and she's looking after kids today. Couldn't make it this morning. I thought, well, this afternoon she'll be here, and she's not. Shame. And then we got 6 kids, and we all stay like Kingsley and Medley. I'm a glorified what babysitter, but I do it good. So I really try and juggle the work between the grandkids. And there you see Swally. There's our kids. Look at that. 3 boys, 3 girls from about two and a half till almost 10 years old. Wonderful. Some go to Kingsway Christian over there, and others just down the road area. So we're blessed to stay right over here. Let me tell you how I became a Christian. So I didn't grow up in, you know, the church. And so I met my wife, and I was really into a lot of drinking. I couldn't drink moderately. And so, you know, I had to get stoned, and then I'd mix it with drugs as well. And so I met this woman, and she said she had helped me, and we got married. But boy, 10 years, it was hard on her. And our relationship was really getting all broken. We were going to get divorced. And then plus we had money as well. I started an electrical wholesaler, selling electrical switch gear, cabling, and calling on a client one day. And he said, "You want a Bible study?" It's like, oh, I don't want a Bible study. You know, that's just not cool. But I needed God. I was a slave to some habits in my life. And so I went on a Bible study. And boy, I taught me over there, and eventually baptized and attended the Church of Christ. But then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm living like the devil. You go to church on Sunday and it's like, feels like the preacher's just, you know, the pastor's speaking to you. Go home and say, "Hey, honey, did you tell him anything?" You know, you feel guilty. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't get my life right. Faith comes by hearing. So what I'd done was I sold my business and I went to Bible school. Went to study for 3 years. Kind of used it as a rehabilitation center. They didn't really know it, but it did work. Faith comes by hearing. And it was wonderful. Studied some accountancy as well, because I didn't want to be a pastor or a missionary or something like that. And there was still apartheid in those days over there. And studied accountancy, became the assistant group treasurer of the Eltron group in South Africa. And then I had a good friend, an American missionary there, and he used to go into the black areas. Boy, and I could see, you know, when you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, it kind of bothers you, hey? And I knew, and of course, I grew up in a racist society. You know, I went to the army in South Africa, and I could see, no, I need to go towards the black people. And then eventually started the downtown. I went to the States and raised some funds and then started working and started the downtown Church of Christ in Johannesburg, Pretoria. These are thriving churches today, really and truly. Because what happened was the whites were moving out. Apartheid being done away with. The whites were moving out and the blacks were moving in. And the whites seen it as dangerous, but the blacks, this is wonderful. The colleges, universities, highways, byways, they gain into the inner city. And I managed to eventually then start planting the downtown churches. And that was a burnt-out Baptist building fixed to put a little section in front over there. Got a study room. People will come past, give them World Bible School courses. And we had about 13 little push carts. So before we had chariots, we had little push carts. You just push it, and that would support a pastor. It would have religious books on it and Bibles, and so they would sell them. Some of that give away, but they'd be able to support themselves. And that was in Johannesburg. And then it just started growing, and I could see tremendous opportunities. And then we started building trucks. We've got now, that's not, We're busy building two big ones this year, one for Uganda, I'll show you, and one for Nigeria, 161 million people in Nigeria. I mean, and so we're going into Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Namibia, South Africa, Swaziland, Lesotho, then West Africa. Remember the Ebola in Liberia? We got one there. Ghana, boy, Ghana. I think the church is the strongest in Ghana. We've got great leaders. So what we're doing is working with key leaders in Africa. Because missionaries went over years ago, they done all the pioneering work. We've got good leaders in Africa. And so what we're doing is bringing reinforcements. And a gospel chair is really just a church of Christ on wheels. You can see the big one, the small one. As you come into an area, it's divided in three. The middle section opens out. And it's got a stage. It's got a PA system, a generator. It's got a 300-seater tent. It's got a baptistry full of water. You don't have to go look for water. And gospel meeting after gospel meeting. And what we do, like we're busy, this is the one we're building for Uganda. And that will go to Burundi, South Sudan, and Rwanda. And a bit of Congo, the west, the eastern part. And so we buy a truck, and then we send it, and then we get a body built, and we put it on. Spray it red, the gospel chariot red, and then we put sides on where the generator goes in, and so it's divided in three. And this is the one that works in Central Africa, 4x4. And as you come into an area, that's the big one, works more South Africa, Lesotho, Botswana, Namibia, where the roads are good. As you come into an area, you've got a tent and you're connected on top. And so every week, there's gospel meeting after gospel meeting. And it can be used for a gospel meeting. It can be used for medical missions. So if we've got doctors from the U.S. coming over, they come over, and so they help in the community, the doctors are. There's gospel meetings. You can be used for church plantings. Church plant, really effective. Before we get to Zimbabwe, for instance, the brethren over there have planned it a long time, where the truck is going to be. And so they'll use it for a church planting, for instance. So they'll say, okay, we want to plant a church in this village. And maybe 5, 6, 7 churches have got together, discussed it, and when we get there, they'll put it in a village. Preach the gospel. So many people come to the Lord, and then those surrounding churches will help mature those brethren. So it can be used for church planting, used for strengthening of struggling churches. It can be used for benevolence when there's a drought and there's no food and things like that. We might be able to then go out and assist as well. So it can be used for a multitude of things. You can see over here, some Americans came over. We got some brethren out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, that help us print Bibles in China, and we ship them over. Here they're helping us with commentaries. Sometimes commentaries, what are they going to study every day? They're not connected to the internet. Slowly but surely it's getting there. And so we come in and we help the pastors with commentaries. There we're giving them duffel bags and commentaries and the Shona Bibles as well. You can see we advertise Nations University over there. And so it's used for gospel meetings. Really, sometimes they can't all get into the tent. Sometimes the tent isn't that full, sometimes extremely full, but they'll sit outside and preaching in the evenings. Now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, what happens is the truck just goes from village to village. Those pastors get excited. You know, they're fighting, yes, we want the truck, and we want the truck, because pastors feel so proud. We're part of that church. And it doesn't say Church of Christ on it, but the people know, and the pastors know, that is part of our church. And so we don't want to go around pushing a denomination, so we put on their World Bible School and Nation University. And so they have open airs, and it's wonderful. And as you have these open airs up in Ghana, where you don't have winter, summer, it's so warm those evenings. Boy, you preach till midnight. The little kids come out, and you have cartoons on Jesus and Noah and Moses, and then afterwards you have the gospel message and encourage. That's the passion of Christ in the Ghana area. They come out in the hundreds and listen to the word of God and bring people to Jesus, and we have a baptism on there, you know, as well. There's a small little unit. That's the baptistry that we have on the one truck, and so they baptized into the Lord. And God is good. And this started 25 years ago with little push carts. I never forget me and my, well, my wife's an accountant. I've got four kids. Three are accountants over here in Perth, and one a psychologist. And my wife, how went full time. I was assistant group treasurer of the Altron group. And then my wife, Rhea, supported me. And then I went around promoting this this dream, and it's just grown, and it's just grown. As I say, we're busy building two big trucks. Where is it coming from? I don't know. God's just, you know, where God guides, God provides somewhere, somehow, from a man who really didn't, you know, and so God. But what I'm saying, God is good. That's my daughter down the road in Kingsley over here, only a kilometer, and my son-in-law, an Australian, Rob Vanakratz, one of the best physiotherapists in Perth. He had an aneurysm, a stroke 2 years ago. We just moved here. He can't walk, can hardly talk, and that's where my wife is now. She's not here. He is. Shame, my daughter. Those two little, the one wasn't even 1 year old, and the other one, two. And so it's really been a struggle. I say, yes, God is good. But really, you know, why do these things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? And you might be sitting over here today, you know, going through a broken life experience. Amen? Why do these things happen? Because life happens. Amen? You know, the Bible speaks about in Romans 8, Paul speaks, he says, the creation was subjected to frustration through bondage to decay. And what Paul is saying is, it's because of Adam and Eve. Sin has entered the world and it's going to run its course. And it impacts us and it touches us. It's toxic. You know, you might have a child. You might go home today driving and somebody under the influence smashes into you. His sin affects you. It's not fair. Somebody else does something, it affects you. Why do these things happen? Because sin has entered the world, and we're all going to go through a broken life experience somewhere, somehow. Like somebody once said, none of us are going to get out of here alive. Amen? We're all going to have some deaths and some struggles. In Romans 8, God works for the good of those who love him. Yeah, right, God. But if you read on in Romans chapter 8, it goes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, shall this? No, we are more than conquerors. So we're going to have these problems and these hurts. But the cool thing about being in Christ is that we know how to suffer at times. You know, God tests us to bring out the best in us. Amen? And Satan tempts us to bring out the worst in us. So we go through life and we live in life and all of a sudden mountaintop experience, the next minute, bang, something's happening. Or Satan knows our weaknesses. So you're going along and Satan puts a stumbling block in front of you and he wants you to fall over it, stay on ground level. Yes, he doesn't want you to grow. That's why elders in the church, they generally older people. Why is that? Because they've gone through many stumbling blocks or stepping stones. And instead of falling over it, what are they doing? They're using it as a stepping stone. And they're climbing higher to the next level. And new level, new devil. That's what happens in life. But yes, and so you have to overcome it. So life's a struggle, isn't it? But it's so cool, you know, because there's many ways you can avoid things when you know God. Why? Because God's word, Bibles. We ship Bibles into Africa. And we're really blessed. Somebody helps us. And we print it in China. Then we ship containers into Africa. But it's this inspired word that helps us and guides us. And yeah, we're distributing some to a high school. And every Bible we give away, we don't just indiscriminately give them away. We try and give them to pastors and to people who come to the gospel meetings, those who are saved. And in the back of the Bible, it's got helps. And you could be evangelizing around Perth area. Ask me for Bibles. We ship a pallet or two into Perth every year or every second year. And so you'll see those girls over there. They've got a Bible, but they've got a correspondence course as well. So they can get pen friends in the U.S. or anywhere in the world. So you can become a World Bible School teacher. And so we hand out the courses, and then we have teachers teaching, and we do the reaching. And so we have seminars as the trucks go around as well. And so your foot's in the door, and that's what the trucks have got, World Bible School. So people will say, hey, I've studied through you. And then they come along, you know. So it's a seminar right there. And so shame. And this is a school on the Zimbabwean border in Venda, on the South African side, handing out Bibles. This is Perth. 2 years ago, I shipped, when I arrived here, two pallets of Bibles and distributed some. And a week or two ago, I got another pallet. Beautiful World Bible School Bible. So if you're evangelizing in your space, in your area, and you want to speak to Mike, I'll leave some Bibles over here. But it's got the World Bible School courses at the back and the internet number. So you can study, it's elementary, how to become a Christian and worship God. And then, of course, somebody who studies through them, we get the follow-up name. And then we can direct them to a faithful church. And so it's really good. And it works great in Africa. I'm working, my inner circle of guys that I'm working with were all World Bible School converts. And it's wonderful. And so we see the Word of God is powerful. I look at my life. What's happened between the Almighty Father God and my wife? I'm a puppet on a string, you know. You're kind of being controlled. Yeah. God does control us and He guides us. And the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And sometimes bad things happen to good people. It's not our fault. But sometimes bad things happen because it is our fault, isn't it? Haven't you ever headed down a road? You know what I mean? And eventually you see, you know, let me say, every path has a destination. If you want to go to Busselton and you're heading towards Broome, you know, eventually you'll figure out you're on the wrong road. But this is what we do spiritually as well. I want to do this. But the meanwhile, you're hanging out with so-and-so and so-and-so, and you're on that road. And every path has a destination. And then eventually you see, man, my life's a mess. I should have been heading out with these individuals. You know, every decision, you know, where you are today is because of a decision you've made in the past. Where you'll be tomorrow is because of a decision you're busy making now. And that's the cool thing about God. God works through principles. You reap what you sow. There's a cause and effect. It's really and truly, you know, sometimes we think God just zaps us. No. You know, God works through principles. Where you are today is because of a decision. And so you bust yourself. God works through principles. And you can't break a principle. A principle will break you. But God's given us the Word, and He's laid out some principles. And the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we can avoid many heartaches. Gee, did I bump my head up to age 30? And still, I'm an accident looking for a place to happen. You know, generally. But because of God's power and that nudge that He says, don't go there. George, don't do it. You know, if I'm going to fall, where am I going to fall? As a 62-year-old. Money, woman, or pride. Amen? Yes. It's those three things. And so we got to be cautious. But God, I like the saying. I read it the other day. Pay attention to the tension. Haven't you ever felt you need to do this, but you have that little thing saying, I don't know. Most probably you shouldn't go that way. Amen? Because it's God saying, you know, you morally, you know what's right. And so sometimes we just go. And so we reap what we sow. And God is just great. This is Kenya. I just got back from Kenya. And 30 students graduated through this World Bible School correspondence course. And it was wonderful. And some of them are pastors from other churches. It's okay. Just study the Word. We preach the truth. We Church of Christ, you know. We know where we come from. And this is now. So we've got these trucks, 15 and into 21 countries. But I told you we started the downtown churches. They're really doing well. And then we've got some buildings. And so when we can get students to come and live with us for 6 months a time, we bring them in. The second semester has just started in Pretoria now. So if somebody's baptized and he's a Christian, so we bring them in. And we love them, encourage them, we feed them, they stay with us. And for 6 months, they go through more maturing material. And we use Nations University. Look at this. I studied through Nations University. See, I never went to university. So at age 30, as I went to the Bible school, I'd done 3 years there. And then I wanted a degree in Bible. I studied online through Nations University. Great curriculum. It's out of Nashville, Tennessee. A university without walls. So if you want to study, and it's great. I've got some young men working with me in their 40s. They have Masters of Divinity through Nations. Just great. And so you'll see we put it on the trucks. But you can study if you want to. You just go www.nations. And it's free of charge. But I think Australians, Americans, maybe European would pay maybe $50 or $100 entry. But that's about it. But it's free. And we put it on the truck. And so people come over and they take the, you know, down. And so it's not how much we can do, how much we can encourage others to direct them to God's Word. World Bible School, Nations University. We don't want to duplicate. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. So we try and work with other ministries. I was down the other day visiting. I saw Gary over there. But with Compassion Over Here. How do you find out about Compassion Over Here in Australia? But I'm going to be doing, you can see over here, running. I like exercise, you know. I was addicted to alcohol and that, you know. And so I don't have a problem with the drink, but I'm scared because I couldn't have a beer. I had to get, and then I mixed it with drugs. And so I've left that 30 years ago. Now I've got another addiction. I like to exercise. I'm not an athlete, but I can. I've done the Ironman. I do it in May and in December down in Busselton. That's why I love Perth. I ride down Pastoral Street over here most mornings, Tuesday and Thursday, down to the tri club. And so I exercise. And that's my son. He's a deacon in the Malaga Church. And then I've got another son. He turns 40 tomorrow, Quinton. Then another son goes to True North, and then one at in Encounter, and my daughter. But you can see over here, I ran the Comrades Marathon last month. I've done it, haven't done it for 10 years. I've done it 14 times. So I like exercise, and I took one of my pastors. He wanted to run it, so we ran it from the back and trying to encourage those who work with me to exercise. And why I've told you about exercise is that I live in Perth. I live here, Kingsley. I'm torn between Kingsley Church of Christ and a church here in Wangara. But this is my area. I live here. And so how am I going to, and I don't have to work here. I work in Africa. I commute when I want to and work, go to different countries. But I just have to try to speak to people about Jesus. And Australians, it's hard, isn't it? How do you, hey, mate, it's not like Africa. You could just get a thumper, So I'm trying to reach out in my space through exercise. And so I'm part of the tri club and then Bike Force Joondalup. And the owners are Christians. So I said to them in November, why don't we have a prayer ride? And so we advertised it. We thought, yeah, okay, maybe six would come. 60 came. 60 preachers and cyclists and some non-believers because they're hurting, got problems. Some of them, oh, they curse. But it's okay. Next Sunday we're having one. We've got it now every month. So next month, Sunday, 7 o'clock we meet at Currumbine Dome. And then we go cycle, we stop for a prayer, and we go back and fellowship and have coffee. One thing about cyclists, they can fellowship. So we're really a church on our own, and we don't encourage just church members to come. We want non-believers to come. And so we really have an opportunity to speak because people have got relational problems, financial problems. Look at me, my son, health problems, physical problems. Boy, we live in a hurting world. So I'm trying to see how I can reach out in Australia. It's very difficult. I don't know, but and that's my son and my daughter-in-law on the left-hand side over there. And we've got a Strava, Facebook page as well, Soul Riders. And it's wonderful. What we try and do, one lady had one of our group had a baby. And so we got a little list and we took meals out, to the, they non-believers. It was so cool. The first time I took a meal out, hello, how are you? Da-da. The next time I took, we stood there talking like a half an hour. Now they're on Facebook with me as well. And I like what you're doing over there in Africa. So it opens up doors and opportunities. There's people having broken life experiences. And that's the most best time to try and speak to people about Jesus. I told you all that. And I love your commute. I'm hoping 2020 to step aside from Gospel Chariot. I'm still going to work with them. But I've got younger men. I believe there comes a time, there's a saying that goes like this, the law of succession. A leader's lasting value is measured by succession. And these younger people in their 40s, I step aside, they will take this thing much further. And you sit back and you say, yeah, wow, that's great. But sometimes you have leaders who just hold on to power and, on to something. It is my baby. I love it. And I want to work with it for the rest of my life, be 90. With a walker, and maybe, but I'll tell you I haven't made a mistake. We got these trucks and it's doing great in Africa and I love Africa. I'm not a South African living here who doesn't like Africa. I love Africa. I'm here because if mommy's happy, everyone's happy. She wants to be with the kids and the grandkids. And so, but where my heart is with the young ones, the little ones, the hurts, the orphans, and when we have a gospel meeting, there's an open air, and on that side, the stage is out, and they're preaching, and then the little kids, we take them under a tree, and we have competitions, and we love them and encourage them. Some of them are orphans. They're struggling. They're hurting. That's Layman, one of the preacher evangelists on the truck, taking them, having competitions over there. He's usually got a bag of candy, and this is a God. Look at this little lady over here. It's not her baby, but look at all the little babies. So what happens at times is daddy is working in, you know, maybe in South Africa or another town earning money. Mommy's staying, you know, at home, and they're looking after the babies and things like that. And a lot of them are orphans. And this is a family that we managed to get out of a real bad shack in South Africa into a better one. This is in Kenya. This is cool. This is Churches of Christ. Look what they're doing in Kenya. And I'd love to run with something like this. Try and help. These kids can't afford to go to school. Now, in Zimbabwe, what happens, some of the kids can't pay schooling fees. So then they'll try to get sponsors for schooling fees, et cetera, et cetera. In Kenya, what they're doing, these kids can't afford school fees. So what the Church of Christ is doing, they've put some rooms up over there, got some teachers getting a reduced salary, but these kids come to school at the church building. This is so cool. And if churches, because sometimes we have churches, they only go Sundays. But we need to, it's not about going to church, we need to be the church. And when you see things like that, wow, my heart is with these young ones. These some orphans in Zimbabwe. The Malaga Church helps in Zimbabwe where they help orphans, but they don't have an orphanage as such. What they do is they know where the orphans are, and they're working with the pastors and the headmaster of the school. And then they identify families who have taken orphans in, and then they help with food, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of hurts. And I really feel, this is in Namibia, I just got back from Namibia, those four little kids were abused orphans, and now they've been taken care of by a family. And you can see they're nicely dressed, just so cute. Look at this in Kenya, motto, winning orphans for Christ. Just amazing. And so I'm 62, and I really would like to try, because I feel I've got leverage. We've got trucks, we're working with great leaders like David and them. You know, there's good people. And from the little we have, we can help. So what I want to try and do is, this is Malawi. Look over there. Thatched roofs, these little drop wells. Try and get more wells dropped. At times it's just they walk miles for water down to the river. This is Malawi. There was a drought there this last year. Managed to get $10,000 and sent it in. And then the gospel chariot went around and handed out corn, millimeal, sadza, whichever country you're in, and helping the widows and the families over there. But one of the other projects we're getting involved in, sometimes it's not good to just give. You got to, you know, you don't want to just give fish. You want to teach people to catch fish. And so we're going into communities, working with Healing Hands International, and teaching communities how to farm through the drip system. And this is really cool. This is wonderful. And so my heart is with the downtrodden. We are so blessed. Last two Saturdays, I was in downtown Perth and Fremantle. Yesterday, the homeless. It's amazing. Right here in our community, you know, you don't recognize when you're going shopping, but go and try and identify them and give handouts. They are on every corner. And we live in a world that's hurting. And so I've started a new work, Gospel Care Missions. It says African Dream, but it's really going to be an Australian dream. Because I live here. Next year I'm an Australian, okay? And so it's something new. It's something that will supplement what we got going over there. And what I'm trying to do, I've got the funds for a container. I'm looking for a place here in Wangara, a church building that's got space where I can put a container for 6 months to a year. And they get surrounding churches over here. And we give, I can't tell you how much stuff I've taken to Salvos. You know, my grandkids' toys and clothes, and I try to take some with me to Africa, but you're limited on how much you can take. So eventually I hand it over. But if we can get a container over here, and we'll find the funds. I'll speak to elders and missions committees in the regions and things like that, and we can ship a container every year. Have you seen this thing, Christmas in July, where you guys pack those little boxes for kids in Africa? That's so cool. I mean, imagine sending some, and you've got a bunch of those things, and they open it up there in Zimbabwe, and yeah, you know what toys? Have you got grandkids? I've got six. Man, you want to turn them on, get them a toy, you know? Happy Meal, you know? That's why they call it a Happy Meal, because there's a toy inside there. But yeah, I feel here right in Perth, in our little community, some of these cyclists who are not even Christians, they will contribute. And if we can ship, you see, my home church is Kingsley and Encounter. Okay, I stay across the road from Encounter, and my daughter goes there. So, but really, my community is right here. So get used to me. You're going to bury me. And Mike's been a tremendous blessing, connecting me and helping me. I've been on two church planting things with the church just down south where John Bond and them are. And then I was with this culture thing, and I'm hoping to go with them into Indonesia as well. So I think the Church of Christ has been really good in helping me. I don't know where I'm going. But one thing I do know, I think we can make an impact. I'm going to be leaving in 2 weeks' time, traveling around Australia, trying to get an idea. And what my brochure is saying is, you know, I'd love to see if we can get a container into Africa from WA, Victoria, Queensland. Get people to buy in and they just ship it over. And there's key guys that can receive it. And we help it from what? The stuff we're not even using, but we can get water purification kits. We can get drip systems. We can get sponsors from companies. I don't know. Let's just have a dream. Let's just try something. You know, I'd like to try a lot of things. And then I speak about the things that work, but I don't speak about the things that don't work. But the brethren will sometimes remember it, you know. But you fail. If you want to fail, fail forward. So I live here, and I really want to try and encourage the church over here and the elders. You know, can't we try? And I'm going to be leaving in 2 weeks' time. I've got my bus, and I'm going to put a bed in there. So I'm going to have a bed. I'm going to have Bibles. I've got some of the Aboriginal Bibles as well. Mike connected me up with David Powell. So I'm going up to the Kimberleys over there. I don't know Aboriginals. It's going to be educational. I am so African, so South African that. Yeah, but it's going to be, so when I come back in 3 months' time, I'll really have a good idea, and I'll be able to pray, see if I can get other churches to help. So I've got a bed, Bibles, and my bike. My bike. So I'll be cycling around as I travel. Please pray for me, for Gospel Chariot Missions and the African work. And you can go on Facebook. Every second day I'm putting something on from Benin or Ghana. And it's exciting to see how God, how's this happen? You know, my father died 34. My older brother, about 36. And my younger brother, who was a hobo, also in his 30s. I've got three sisters. They're still going strong. But I found the Lord. And I'm alive and I'm 62. And God is, you know, taking an insignificant individual, you know, who was messed up. And that's why I like to go into the inner city and look at things. But God can use you, can use us all. You know, I have this one illustration. I'll finish off. You know, you have the Dead Sea, and you have, and the Dead Sea is dead because water flows in and no water flows out. It's dead. But a couple of hundred kilometers away, you have the Sea of Galilee, and it's thriving. It's a resort, and there's boats and jet skis. And it's, why is it alive? Because water flows in and water flows out. And I think God's designed us to where Jesus flows in and Jesus flows out. And why am I trying this gospel, kids? Because sometimes you just feel, oh, you can do better. And I pray as I come back. Or if you know somebody who's got a factory in Wangara, who has space where we can put a container. And then my Camry, I'm going to trade it in for a ute. We call it pickups in the States and buckies in South Africa. And but I'll get me a ute. And then if churches down live stream, that's where I've been going, and on some courses and things like that. But, you know, I can drive around, speak at the different churches on Sundays, and then eventually go around, pick up stuff, load it up, and then identify a leader in Africa. I've been speaking to the African leaders for about 2 years now. What if? What if? And when I was in Kenya now, Tom Oponda said, Brother Funk, when are you going to get that gospel care? And he's a visionary. He says, what you need to do is try and transform a village. You know, don't just give, yeah. Try and make an impact on one village by the farming and the, you know, the things like that. Try and focus on one village and let that village then eventually try and help other villages. About education, Africans are sharp. Believe me, there's some great, great leaders over there working with doctors, lawyers, great elders, big church in Ghana. There's some churches now, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people. So there's great leaders. And then some countries like Namibia, we're doing pioneering work. There's no churches, only what we've started. And so there's some struggles and things like that. Come, let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the Kingsley Church and Father, them welcoming Rhea and I and Mike, who's just spoken into my life, Father. He's such a good pastor, such a good a man, and sometimes we just get together and share ideas. And And Father, I just thank you for him and the leaders over here. And the church, Father, it's thriving. It's doing well, Father. And I just pray that they'll help release me, Father, to be able to try and run with something where we can all get involved a little bit more. Because sometimes we do get set in our ways. And even myself, Father, I speak to you daily. And I see sometimes things in my life where I could be doing more, Father. And life is going by so fast. Be with us all, Father. Thank you that we know you, your word that's in us. The way you direct us, you nudge us, you tug us. You're an amazing God. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Be with us this night. You know our struggles, Father. Be with Rob and Chantel. And we know just here in our midst there's individuals sitting with some broken life experience, whether it's a son, a daughter, a family member, self, physical. Oh, we hurt, Father. Drugs. Be with us, Father. Help us encourage each other. In Jesus' name, amen.